The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show!
Honey, bedtime.
Okay, Mom.
I'm just gonna read one more chapter. You're listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast. Bedtime is optional, right?
Are you whispering up there?
Hello, 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 readers, and welcome back to the sixth and final episode for season one of the Midnight Romantics podcast. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. It means so much to me that you've spent some of your day listening to something that I've worked so hard on and created for you to kind of make you smile, have some joy, talk about books a little bit. So I really am grateful for everyone who listens. Thank you so, so much. So today, since the last episode, I have a very special interview of ahead of us. So earlier this week, I sat down in the studio with Keisha Amiglio. And so she is a fourth year media production student at Toronto Metropolitan University. And for those of you who don't know, I am a first year student at TMU. And that's the reason I'm able to have this podcast. So if you haven't heard of Spirit Live Radio, it's pretty much a 24-hour live broadcast station run by TMU media production students. So they've got tons of live shows, tons of podcasts, really cool content. They're operating 24 hours, 7 days a week. So please check out some of the other amazing content that Spirit Live has to offer. With that said, I sat down with Keisha. So every fourth year student gets to work on a practicum project. And so her and her group are doing a pilot episode for a TV show called Love TBD for their practicum project. So it pretty much is a romance story that combines 2000s nostalgia with romance and a little bit of magic. So I hope you enjoy, and here's our conversation. And welcome, Keisha.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so my first question for you is, how did romance novels inspire your film? And are there any specific books that you drew inspiration from?
Our team all loves reading books. It's our favorite thing. It's what drew all of us together, mainly romance specifically. And my friend Amanda, who is the director for Love TBD, is the one who started everything. She pitched the idea to me, and I was like, I'm so on board with this. There was a variety of romance novels I know that she took inspiration from. I know for a fact, though, specifically, I believe it was 7 Year Slip that sparked this entire idea.
That has been on my list.
Yes.
It's been on my list in my room right now.
It's also been on my list as well, because she's a really big romance reader compared to me. I'm more of the type to have, like, I guess, romanticy or more like crime-ish mystery novels. But she kept giving me all these different books that I want to read, and I'm like, that sounds really interesting. So yeah, so 7 Year Slip is the main book that sparked her entire idea of, like, time travel,
mm-hmm.
and having that love connected by a string kind of thing. And as for vibes, there were other ones, like show wise we took a lot of inspiration from Gilmore Girls, as you can kind of tell if you guys seen any of our posts or any of our little promos going on. It's very much fall vibey. And if you know the book, ironically, by Laurie Gilmore, called the Pumpkin Spice Cafe. It's the same thing. It's actually also kind of similar to Gilmore Girls in a way. It's that cafe, small town aesthetic. And just those kinds of things is what really inspired everything here.
I love that. That's so cute. Yes, I'm needing to get around to that book. I will eventually.
I will too.
We will both get around to it. My second question is, I noticed that your pilot is set in the early 2000s, so I was wondering what you think the golden age of romance novels, or even just romance, like, media in general, is.
I know Amanda and I definitely, when we were talking about everything to, like, early 2000s, is definitely what we thought was the golden age, or what really we found had the best rom-com. Because we were actually talking about how a lot of rom-coms these days, there's just something that we aren't really drawn to enough. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, it kind of, sorry to go on a little ramble here, it kind of makes sense, you know, as time goes by, so will the rom-coms. 2000s rom-coms were like that because it was literally done in early 2000s. It's just that we grew up watching those, that we were naturally drawn to them more. And now that we are evolving in rom-coms where there's, like, really high-tech stuff, and it just seems, we kind of like that out of touch-ish, mm-hmm. where it's, like, old phones, old technology, just really cozy, I think. That's the thing that we don't really see in most recent rom-coms, is that we don't really feel that cozy feel. And we think that the nostalgia and the warmth that we see in these early 2000s stories or rom-coms is what draws us in the most, I would say.
I totally agree. Because I feel like a lot of stories, they're like, they miss over certain beats. Because I was having this conversation with some of my friends talking about how, like, slow burn and, like, yearning and pining are not really elements that we see so much in like, romantic media mm-hmm. these days. And, like, I really miss it because, like, It's just, like, what makes me want to fall in love with a story, you know?
It's also what brings in, like, in modern ones, we have all this technology to easily have in contact with somebody. With something in the early 2000s, like you said, yearning and stuff like that, you feel like there is still some disconnection that makes you want to be like, oh, that girl that, like, I just saw, or that guy that I just saw, like, how will I get to him? How mm-hmm. will I get to her? And especially because this is set where they meet in the past, you're like, I feel empty now. Like, when can I see him or her again, you know? And it's like, we want that. We want people to feel that.
I think that technology aspect is definitely something I never even considered. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's so true because it's like, It is, like, it does put, like, another challenge on the relationship, but that's, like, nostalgic and, like, brings you back a little bit. Mm-hmm, I totally agree with that. My third question is, what do you think draws people towards the romance genre?
For me, actually, I would think there's a lot of, I think it's subjective, because there's a lot of different genres of romance, like, subgenres in romance. For me, and the first thing that actually drew me to romance is an enemies to lovers trope. I'm a sucker for those, like, incredibly. And I think it's the different kinds of tropes that some, like, people are drawn more into. Like, some people don't like enemies to lovers, but they would probably love, like, childhood friends to lovers.
Me. That's my thing.
I'm a sucker for that, too. Like, don't even worry about it. It's, like, really, mm-hmm. like, like, it's just, I just love it.
Me
but
too.
I think what mainly people like to when it comes to reading and romance, at least for me and my friends, is the giddiness of it all.
Absolutely.
Of, like, when you're reading and you think, oh, I wish that was me. Or sometimes even if you don't really want to be in a relationship, you're like, you feel that warmth and that fuzziness, even if that's not you, even if you know, like, that's not really my thing. It's just like, this is fun. Like, it's fun to read. Mm-hmm. And it puts you also on an emotional roller coaster where you think, oh, they're going to end up together. And then they don't. Or 10 years later down the line, they see each other again. You're like, will they get together? Oh, no, that person's dating another person. And you're like, what will they do? You know? And it's just like someone gets maybe hit by a truck or something. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. just that kind of vibe. And it's like, whew. What I want to keep reading. And I think it's just more so their connection as well. People love to read and see the connection made between two characters. I think that's incredibly important when it comes to creating a story, how you have these two characters, what is their stories individually, what makes them connected. And in romance, we normally see that. We normally see a guy's perspective and a girl's perspective. And mainly it's most of the girls, but like, you know, kind of something like that.
I totally agree. That's like, that's very well put. I love the giddiness that comes with reading romance. I think that is definitely the like one of the biggest draws to it. And in terms of that, do you feel like any of that is missing today from modern kind of like romantic media, books, TV shows, kind of like that like excitement?
I think it's still there. I think all romance books, all romance novels or media, they still have that excitement. But I do find that sometimes, this could just be me, but up to recent dates, I would say, especially because as a person who is on book talk a lot of people have just been really drawn to the spiciness of romance books. And to me, that kind of draws away from the giddiness feeling. Like, yes, you will feel giddy because you're like, oh my God, spiciness. But I look at TikToks and I see how the first comments I see are like, oh, is this spicy? Oh, I want it to be spicy. And I'm like, we're kind of losing the plot just a little bit. Like, I think, like I said previously, what makes romance books so great is the connection built between the two. So sometimes over a course of like traumas or just a course of like hanging out with each other kind of thing. And when the sole like reason you guys want to read is for the spiciness, and a lot of books are like that nowadays, like if you enter Indigo, they have an entire section
tables
of hashtag or seen on book talk spicy talk or something like that. And it's just like, well, you do you. I won't judge you for that, but I do think that that's what we're kind of losing.
I agree. And it's totally a product of like book talk and BookTube. And it's just like, it's kind of fostered that kind of like environment within media. And that's something that I personally would also like to move away from, because I feel like that it takes away from like the core fundamentals of the romance.
Exactly. There is a book that sounds really interesting to me, recommended by Amanda actually, called Phantasma, I believe. It's really interesting. It sounds super cool and up my alley, but unfortunately, it showed that there was like a good chunk of it just like smut. And I'm just there like, you see, the plot sounds amazing, but I don't really want to read a book where we don't get to the plot until like after chapters of just lust, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, my heart kind of hurts for that. But I think that's another thing. Just like, there's so many good plots out there, but it's kind of ruined when you put just explicit things just because of the current, I guess, market.
Yeah, it generates buzz and like, you know, when people see that, they'll be like, oh. And if it's, especially people see stuff on book talk, even if it's not even something that they maybe would want to read, they're now reading it because they feel like pressure because everyone else is.
Yeah. You know? And also just like book talk itself is just like a whole rabbit hole. Like some people are like, oh, read this. And then it's just not that good, or but people only think it's good because it creates such a buzz on book talk. Or it's the opposite, like people are bringing down a book, but turns out it's like a hidden gem. And I think, yeah, that's a little bit going off like the wrong like little sideline there, but
yeah, no, that's all great. That's really great. My last question is, as kind of one of the co-writers for Love TBD, what do you hope viewers will take away from your pilot episode?
I want them to get invested in the story. Us as a whole, not only just the writers, because the writers are Amanda, Nayla, and I are the writers, but just on this journey with our entire crew and cast, we just want them to get them enveloped into our story, but to also have that connection with Jacob and Evangeline, who is our main characters. And I want them to get invested in our story and how want them to know, like, will Evangeline see Jacob again or vice versa? Will they see each other in the future? What is there to come for their love story? And really just, I want them to also feel, because our whole point is to bring back the nostalgic feeling that people are missing in these, like most recent rom-coms and stuff. So not only do you want them to feel that warmth and nostalgic of like early 2000s vibes again, it's just more so connecting and being like, ooh, like what's gonna happen next kind of thing. And which is why we were really hoping that like our demographic was people who love romance, because I think they would really enjoy watching and just thinking like, it's not technically forbidden love, but it's more so like fate.
Mm-hmm. It's fate. Got that like magical element to it.
Yes, it's not entirely magical, but it has that sense of going back in the past and meeting like who would be considered your soulmate there, and you're there like, but how could this be? And obviously they don't know that yet, but Invisible String Theory, so.
I think that's so cool. Like, I wish this was like a full length show, because like I would definitely be watching this, because it sounds so like perfect. Like combines all the vibes that I love.
Thank you so much.
Into one project. I lied, I have one more question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
What was your favorite part of like, of the process of creating this show?
Other than the writing, definitely, part of it was definitely writing, because as part of the person who helped on the writing process, it felt like we are making this happen. Like, this is happening. Our script is coming along, and this is awesome. And then you're visualizing who you want to be. I think casting also was definitely a lovely part of creating the show, because when you finalize a cast for something that you helped create, some like that you were a part of creating, it kind of not only kind of solidifies it, but you're like, wow, we made these characters, we actually have people for these characters. And I think just working like our crew and our actors and actresses were a joy to be a part of, to like connect with. And I loved working with everyone, every second of it. Obviously it wasn't all smooth, but that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. It kind of becomes a bonding moment as well with your crew when something bad happens, because you're like, it's okay, we'll recover from it, let's just keep going. So yeah, there's a lot of aspects, but I definitely think just seeing it all come together is like my favorite thing.
I think that's so really far. Rewarding, like being able to see the full kind of process mm-hmm. happen before you, and like when you've worked so hard on it and you're the one who helped develop these characters and the storyline, and it just like all comes together. I think that's very rewarding for sure.
It definitely is. And just seeing how also well that the actors portrayed your characters, because lovely actors Joelle and Blake, we gave them like the script, we told them, okay, let's see how you act and stuff like that, like during our auditions. And we were like, honestly, like this feels so natural to them. Like, they have that natural awkwardness, which is what we wanted. And Blake actually is already a reader, and that's part of the reason why we thought it also kind of came natural to him, because our whole story is that both of them like to read. And just seeing him ramble during our audition about books that he read, we were like, this guy's kind of amazing.
Oh,
like,
that's perfect. That's so rewarding.
Yeah, because we told them like, hey, we're gonna make you guys we'll give you guys a prompt and improv it. Let's just see your chemistry. And just the way he started rambling about books, like not even like faking it, like it was actual plot about real books. I forgot which one it was, but that's a matter. But we're just like, This is great. And like I said, like, they have that, like, they're really, they have good visual chemistry and also on screen, like, chemistry in both acting and off screen as well. The whole point is them to be kind of awkward because, you know, they barely know each other, and they were able to, like, pull that off amazingly, of being like, who are you? kind of thing.
Love that.
So that's a little ramble, but I just love them. So I just wanted to mention them a little bit there.
That's really great. So will people be able to kind of, like, watch the episode, the pilot episode, once it's kind of finished and finalized?
Yes. So we do plan on releasing it on YouTube, but we did have an Indiegogo, and there were little tiers on there. So people who paid for certain tiers will be actually getting the screening for Love TBD first before we officially drop it on YouTube and other streaming platforms that we can. Hopefully we do want to submit this to some sort of festival or like film event so that we can showcase it to more people. But yeah.
That's so cool. I think it sounds amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much.
I will definitely be there. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. You had amazing responses. I'm so excited to see kind of where this project is headed.
Well, thank you so much again for having me. It was like a joy to talk to you. And I just love rambling about like romance books and this project in general, because it was truly a journey, because since we started this last year. So yeah, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for being here. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I had so much fun chatting with Keisha and getting to learn more about her project, and it makes me super excited for what's to come in my university experience. So if you think that Love TBD sounds like a super cool project and you'd like to see the finished product, or you'd like to stay kind of involved in the creation process of Love TBD, then you can follow Keisha and her team on Instagram at Starfall Pictures. So I highly recommend, they post really fun content that keeps you up to date on what they're working on in their process of creating and bringing this pilot to life. So please follow them to kind of stay updated on what's happening with their project. So with that said, that brings us to the end of the last episode today. I want to thank you again for listening, tuning in. It means so much to me. And I also want your feedback. So I'm going to be posting a little feedback form on my Instagram, and I would love if you could fill it out. It just asks a few questions, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, because I'm always looking to kind of improve. And I want to know what you thought about the first season of this podcast. So please do fill this out. It means a lot to me. Thank you so, so much for listening. And remember, bedtime is optional, right? Finish your last chapter. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you later. Bye.